This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 48, 5 days to a new income stream.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 48, and my guest today is Jeff Steinman, a self-proclaimed lifestyle fanatic from howtoquitworking.com. I think you're going to like this one. Before we get into it, I need to issue an apology. I am really sorry. If you downloaded last week's show on Thursday, you might have heard an embarrassing editing mistake where the intro to the show played twice, and we started the show over a couple minutes deep into it. It's totally my bad. I apologize for it. 2 minutes is 2 minutes. There's no excuses for that. So I'm really sorry. Totally unprofessional. But a funny story of how I caught the mistake, though, and this is the silver lining, is I'm testing out getting some transcriptions done for the show because several people have asked about them. And what happens, I was proofreading through the transcription and I was like, oh God, you know, I caught this error and I was like, oh, did I forget to edit that out? Oh my God. So I went through and got it fixed, by Thursday afternoon. But if you downloaded it early in the day on Thursday, you probably got the messed up version. So I'm really sorry for that. I'm trying to make sure it doesn't happen again. Oh, hey, and if you missed it on the site earlier this week, I put a case study about how I earned $920 on Fiverr in just 10 days. I ended up getting featured on the homepage, crazy side hustle experiment that ended up blowing up in a good way. And so pretty interesting case study. I think you'll check it out. That's over on the blog at sidehustlenation.com. I'll link to it in the show notes here at sidehustlenation.com/episode 48. And with that, let's get into the show with Jeff from howtoquitworking.com. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Nick, thanks so much for having me. I love the whole idea of side hustle because I side hustled way longer than I should have.
You and me both, brother. So yeah. So Jeff Steinman is here. He's the author of How to Quit Working and the creator of howtoquitworking.com. He's a real estate investor, a coach, and most importantly, a lifestyle fanatic, a self-described lifestyle fanatic, fiercely devoted to finding better ways to do life. So Jeff, how am I going to quit working? I got bills to pay. Let's get started. Let's get right into this. The first step, I imagine, is figuring out something to sell.
You know, nobody on this planet has ever made a penny without having something to sell. that's something that that folks don't get. But you know, Nick, the biggest thing that people tell me is they say, just like you said, Jeff, I want to quit working, but I've got bills to pay. I can't just like quit my job and go jump off a cliff and take on a bunch of risk and invest a bunch of money in a business. And then people say, and then why would I do that? Because I pick up the newspaper and I see statistics that, like, you know, 70% of businesses, I don't know what the stat is, but it's staggering. Like 70% of businesses fail in the first 5 years, and most of them fail in the first year.
Scary stuff.
Very scary. Very scary. I mean, people are terrified of that. But the thing is that we fall into this trap of thinking that that's the only way to start a business, when in reality, there's all kinds of things that you can do while you're still working on the side to get your business off the ground without giving up your paycheck. You keep going in, you keep doing your job, keep getting your paycheck, and you do some of these very simple things that you can do to get a business going while you're still working. So you don't have to take that big risk. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to give up your income. Just get it rolling on the side. Perfect. And then when it is time, you've got a foundation to stand on. You're actually jumping onto something solid instead of into thin air.
Yeah, we talked with Alex Harris a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, when he finally got fired from his job, I don't know why he didn't quit, you know, ages ago, but he finally got fired. He's like, I was unemployed for my drive home, essentially, because I had built up, you know, my side hustle to such a point where, you know, I got home and went straight to work for my clients. I was like, well, that's, you know, that's the perfect situation, I think. And you kind of frame it like, you know, in that statistic, like, oh, you know, 90% of new businesses, you know, fail. But it's like, what's riskier, you know, relying on one source of income for your entire livelihood or try and diversify that a little bit? And so that's kind of the exact brand of entrepreneurship that Side Hustle Nation is all about. So let's dive into it. How do we, as a side hustler, how do I get started?
Well, see, we make entrepreneurship and business so freaking complicated, right? We start out with, oh my God, I have to get a website, and I got to think about customer service. I got to think about this, and I got to think about that. It's so hard. How am I going to get customers? But really, all it is identifying what value it is that you bring to the world and then charging people money for that. So the way that you get started is you start a conversation around what that value is that you bring to the world. And this is something that I walk folks through in the free 5-day training that's on my website is, you know, we just go through, okay, we start with a couple of really simple questions. When your friends, your family, your colleagues or whoever it is, when they come to you and they say, hey, Nick, I need your help with X. Can you tell me what you think about this? Can you walk me through that? What is that thing that they ask you about?
Okay.
And the answer to that question, whether that's relationship advice or starting a side hustle or starting a restaurant or organizing your closet, whatever it is, that thing is where you start, because that's where there's already a tide of people coming to you. It's where people are already interested in what you've got. So you just got to make that bigger and start charging money for it.
You've established yourself as an expert, at least amongst your circle of friends, on topic X.
Yes.
Okay. What's next?
The next thing that you do is you figure out what that thing is, and then you open up a larger conversation about it, right? So you figure out, okay, if people come to me for advice on parenting, maybe it's how to get your kids to go to sleep at night because they never want to go to sleep. They want to hear 500 bedtime stories, and they lay awake and then they get up and, you know, and all that stuff. So if that's what people come to you with questions about, then you ask yourself, okay, where can I find people that have that problem that could benefit from what I offer?
So in that case,
and
it would be
the
like
answer to that
parenting.
Is so easy. And actually, Nick, we were talking.
Sorry, so
absolutely,
like parenting blogs or something like that?
Yeah, parenting blogs, local parenting groups that you can go to, online social media groups about parenting, online forums, all kinds of things. There's all kinds of places, and it's so easy these days to find people. And, you know, as we were talking about before the show, Nick, there's no geographical boundaries anymore, right? If we were in the pre-internet world, you would really have to largely focus your efforts on your local area. But now the only real barrier that we face with the internet is language, right? So if you're an English speaker, which everybody listening to this show probably is.
Otherwise, they're not getting much out of it.
Right. That's your only boundary, right? And there's a whole lot of English-speaking people in this world. So it's just about figuring out Why do people come to me, and then figuring out where can I find a bunch more of those people that need that stuff, that need that advice that I give to people?
Okay.
You open up that conversation, and then you just start listening, right? You start talking to folks about what is it that you're really struggling with? What is it that is giving you a problem in this area? And maybe that's – maybe if just to go back to the getting your kids to go to sleep at night, the kids are just too wound up to go to sleep. Well, how do you get them to calm down a little bit before you put them into bed? So you're finding out what are the really specific problems that people are having around this that they want solved, you know, and it's just opening up that conversation and listening for areas where you can help, areas where you can contribute, areas where you have the answers to the problems that they have.
Okay. And there's no business, there's no incorporation, there's nothing at this point. You're just out in local groups, you're on social media, you're on blogs, you're just listening for these struggles that are somewhat related to your area of expertise.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because we so often get caught up in this trap of, well, I can't start a business unless I go form an LLC and put up a website and set up all my social media channels and this and this and this.
Yeah,
and this,
so I need a logo. I need to incorporate
a logo. Yeah, that's my everybody thinks they need a logo and they need to have a team of attorneys behind them, like Mr. Burns has on the Simpsons. You don't need any of that. This is just a conversation. You don't need an LLC. You don't need a logo. You don't even need a website to just go out and talk to people. All right, and that's the first step, and that's the step that people miss. And what folks tend to do is they go off into that whole creating a logo and getting their legal advice and all this kind of stuff that we think is what you do when you start a business, but it's actually ahead of having a conversation.
Yeah, don't worry about what's the cart in front of the horse and all that stuff until you have some sort of validation that you've got a viable service to
yeah,
offer.
And that is extremely important if it's a side hustle, because you don't have time. You know, you're probably working a 40-hour-a-week job at the very least, and you get home and you still got – you might have kids that you have to feed. You have a house you have to take care of. You've got a lot of work to do outside of starting your business, which is why people who are doing a side hustle – do not have any time to waste on anything that is not moving them from where they are to where they want to be.
Exactly. So, Jeff, how do you how do people, like, say you've got a lot of ideas bouncing around in your head? How do you kind of pick which one to advance forward with?
You don't. You don't pick ideas. You start that conversation with people and you let them tell you what they want. And that's it. That's all there is to it. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that if maybe you're a computer programmer and people come to you with questions about computer programming, but you hate computer programming, I'm not suggesting that you should start a business around that. All right, you got to keep it in the domain of something that you really care about.
Okay.
But you can't have what I call the idea mentality. And the idea mentality has a couple of components to it. The first component of the idea mentality is that I can't start a business unless I have a brilliant idea. Well, every single person on this planet, I think, probably generates 10 brilliant ideas a week. It's not about the idea. It's about two things. It's about the execution of the idea. But even before that is, does the market really want the idea?
Yeah, that
doesn't matter how brilliant it is.
So here, we can walk through this. It was one of my brilliant ideas from last week was
okay.
a performance-based accounting firm, right? Because I'm like one of these people who's like so cheap. Like, I don't want to hire an accountant because I don't know if they're going to save me any more than TurboTax is going to save me. So if like if there was a way to say, okay, here's your baseline, right, refund or something, like if you can get me from X to X, like I would gladly pay a percentage of that as like a performance-based fee. And now someone has come on Twitter and said, hey, we can't do that. We're bound by some code that says you can't do that because it creates some misincentives and stuff. But I was like, well, maybe there's a way to do it like how Lyft does it with their taxi service. It's technically not a taxi service because they run on donations, right? But you get those suggested donations. I'm pretty sure are going to based on how far you go in the car. So okay. I was like, that's what I was kicking around the other day. I was like, I don't know how to get it started, but.
Well, the important thing to remember is, and people ask me all the time, they call me up or they email me and they say, is this business idea good or not? And I always say, hell, I don't know, and because I'm not the guy with the problem who needs to have the problem solved.
Gotcha.
Now, if you come to me, so I'm an aspiring amateur photographer. So I'm not even good enough at photography to call myself an amateur. I have a Canon DSLR that I'm trying to, first of all, figure out how the heck to use it.
Okay.
And then maybe I can start to look at some of the artistic elements of it. But the bottom line is that's something I need help with. That's a pain that I have right now. I try to do video. It's blurry. I always look like a ghost in the video. It doesn't matter. I've read books. I've read the manual. I've watched a bunch of YouTube videos. I can't get anybody to really give me the information that I need the way I need it. So if you come to me with an idea for how to make me a better amateur photographer, then I would have some opinions for you.
Okay.
Right. But that's the right way, right? If the best way to develop a business around, let's just say, photography education for beginners or extreme beginners like myself, I'm not even sure what an f-stop is, right? But the best way to develop a business around that is to ask me, right? Talk to me about what do I struggle with? What do I need help with? And clearly there is a market to be filled there, because I am perfectly willing to spend money learning how to use my camera. I am perfectly I have access to all of the information that's on the internet for free, and it's not helping me. Right. I need something different, and I'm not even sure what I need. That's for the expert photographer to figure out how can they help me. But I can tell you what my problems are all day long.
Okay. And so this is like when you're talking about the idea mentality, you know, business ideas are a dime a dozen. It's kind of the validation of that, talking to your potential customers and really executing on those ideas. This is a kind of an idea that Derek Sivers put out in whatever his book, Anything You Want, I think was the name of the book.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you know, an amazing idea with zero execution is worth $0, but like a terrible idea with amazing execution could be worth $1 million. You know, he points to like the Snuggie and the Chia Pet and stuff like that. And it's like, this is the dumbest thing in the world, but they went out and crushed it, you know?
When the Chia Pet first came out, and it was a long time. It was like the 80s. Like my brother and I were really little, and it was back in the days when, like, if you wanted to get a present for your grandma, you know, your mom would buy it and she would put your name on it, right? So we wanted to give my grandma a present, and she loves gardening, and we gave her a Chia Pet.
Uh-huh.
3 years ago, she still has that Chia Pet, not in a closet somewhere, but actually like out, and she has all these different seed mixes that she spreads on it and grows it. It's ridiculous. I mean, if anybody came to you and said, Nick, I've got this great business idea. I'm going to make this ceramic cow or whatever the heck it was, and I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to give you some seeds that you mix with water and spread on it, and it grows and it looks like hair. What would you say?
Yeah, that might not be a great example for this, because it doesn't really address a pain point for anybody. I don't think anybody was like, oh, you know what I really need on my countertop?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. Here's the difference that comes in. The company that made Chia Pet, they had the marketing power, they had the marketing budget, and they had the ability to get you to want something that you didn't want before. And that's a huge distinction between big business and people that are trying to start a side hustle.
Right.
Because we don't have – side hustlers do not have the multi-million dollar budget to create the infomercials and the advertising and all that it takes to really shift consumer demand. Shifting consumer demand is totally, absolutely something that is perfectly that you can absolutely do if you have the budget to do it, right? The Snuggie convinced us that blankets are a problem. See, they didn't come to solve a problem that we have. They gave us a new problem, right? Which is that these blankets are horrible. You know, the lady that's just fumbling, she can't get the remote because of this stupid blanket. And it's not a problem at all, but they gave us a problem, and then they gave us a solution to it. Now, if you want to create a big business that does that, I wish you all the power in the world to you. But for somebody who wants to get out of their job, no, you got to go to an existing problem that hurts really bad.
Okay.
Somebody like me who's about to throw an $800 camera across the room. That's some pain.
Definitely. And actually, we had Mike Newton on the show a couple weeks ago talking about that exact thing. Created a book called Hacking Photography to get people, new DSLR owners from, I don't know what this is, to kind of, you know, to be able to, you know, work the settings and take good pictures, kind of like the, you know, the beginner's guide to making it work. So
he's
solving your problem. It's out there. It's out there. So, and proving that it can work too.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check that book out. It's called Hacking Photography, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to check that out.
Okay. So the next step, I've talked to my customers, I've kind of validated their pain points and figured out how I can solve them. So then what do I do? Is that the point where I kind of put a for sale sign up in front of my shop and say, hey, I'm ready to help you out?
Absolutely, because you've started by having that conversation. You started by figuring out what problems do folks have? How can you solve them? And that's a hypothesis. All right, and the hypothesis is not proven until somebody gives you money. And you can go out and ask people all day what they think about an idea, and you can get a really good hypothesis from that. But you don't know if it's going to work or not until you start asking people for money.
Okay, until you make that first dollar.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
somebody else really said, until you make your third dollar. So the first person is probably your mom. Second one might be a fluke. But customer number three, then you're on to something.
There you go. When you get to customer number three, and it's almost like literally a dollar, because the best way to do that, right, is the fastest way to do it, and the thing that anybody listening to this show could have done today, is to write a quick ebook and put it up on the Kindle on Amazon.
Okay.
And make it 99 cents, because that really quickly is going to get your idea in front of a lot of people that will have the potential to buy it. And either somebody's going to buy it or they're not. And many of the people who do, this is what's so awesome about that platform, is they might leave a review and they might tell you exactly what they think about it.
Okay, so
– and then you've got even more feedback.
Let's take it back a minute. So to create your first info product, we're going to put it on Amazon, essentially to have access, not to make money, because you're not going to make much at 99 cents, but to have access to their 100 million verified credit card accounts or whatever in the U.S.
Absolutely.
And to quickly validate, hey, is this going to sell or is this not going to sell? Like, is there some traction here?
Exactly. And it's pretty easy to sell something for 99 cents on Amazon, because like you said, people have their credit card in there already and they're willing to try it out. And they hit buy. I buy 99 cent stuff all the time. A lot of it I don't even read.
Yeah. It's a dollar. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of crap out there for 99 cents, but there's also some really good stuff. And the thing is, once you've got readers, if those readers leave reviews, you then have feedback. And what they're going to tell you is, I mean, they might tell you it sucks. This is the worst ebook I've ever read. And that's totally okay, right? Because it's not failure, because we're still in the learning stage. We're in the learning process. So what they're going to hopefully tell you is why they think it sucks.
Okay.
And then all you got to do is address that issue. I think this ebook sucks because it didn't tell me anything about how to adjust the f-stop on my camera. Well, what do you think you're going to do? You're going to add into the book how to adjust the f-stop on your camera.
Right. Okay. So say, is there any tips to – because you can put stuff on Amazon and it kind of falls into a black hole. Any ideas to kind of gain some initial exposure on that platform?
Yeah. Well, remember all those people you've been talking to? As you're talking to those people, whether you're on Facebook groups or you're going to local events or whatever you're doing, blogs, capture those people's contact information that you're talking to. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy at first. I'm not talking about setting up some big fancy autoresponder. That's a good idea, but you don't have to do that right away. But capture their contact information so that you can say, hey, you remember that problem that we talked about the other day, how you can't get your you can't figure out how to work your digital camera? Well, now I have an ebook on Amazon. That'll get you some momentum. And when you've got it priced low, like at 99 cents, there's almost no price resistance, as we talked about. So it's just about building up a following. So you start by getting some momentum with the people that you've already talked to. And then the other thing that you got to do is you got to write a really good description. You got to write a description that contains words that people search for. And we actually talk about this in my free 5-day program. Is we talk about how do you actually find out what it is that people search for so that you can incorporate that into your Amazon description.
Okay. Yeah, we'll link you up to that in the show notes for sure. So, Jeff, cool. So it's up for sale on Amazon. I'm getting some initial sales and some feedback, but I'm making 30 cents a sale. Like, that's not going to be how to quit working for me.
Absolutely.
What's next? How do I scale this up or figure out how to turn this into a real business?
Absolutely. Well, see, now you've started this conversation. You've gotten people to actually pay you money for what you've got. So you continue the conversation. See, this is a piece that people don't get about business, is that conversation with your customer never ends. It never, ever ends. And all of the successful companies, you better believe Apple talked to a whole lot of people before they rolled out the first iPod. Right? So they understand what works and what doesn't work for people. So as you're continuing, as you're selling these ebooks, you're continuing to have the conversation, and you're always asking them the question. You're always exploring from them, what do you need more of? Right? So when people comment on the book, you're looking for in their response, what do they want more of, right? So maybe once people read that ebook and they're like, wow, I know how to operate my camera. I know how all these things work. Now I want to figure out how to take better pictures, right? Now that I know how to change these things, I want to take better pictures. And then see, the most valuable asset that you can ever have in a business is a paying customer. And now that you've got these folks that have paid you maybe only 99 cents, and that's not the only price that you can set for a book, but they've paid you some kind of money for this information, now they're more apt and more prone, because they've been exposed to you, to spend more money with you. So then, you know, if you're a lifestyle guy like me, like I don't want to be tied to boxing up some product and shipping it out of my basement or anything like that. You know, I want the freedom of lifestyle, and I want things to be able to be sold online so that I can be wherever I want to be. And if you're somebody who's like that, the next logical step is some kind of online training course. And there's so many places that let you put those up, like Udemy, and there's a bunch of places that are a bunch of websites that are existing marketplaces that will let you put up things. Now then you start to get higher in your price. That's not 99 cents anymore. That might be 2,500. That could even be into the thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Do you see a risk in selling on Amazon? There's a couple of different schools of thought on this. You know, I'm going to put my best stuff together in an ebook and sell it for 99 cents or $2.99 or even $9.99. Am I selling myself short, where some of the, you know, more hardcore internet marketing gurus are going to say, I'm going to sell that for $47. I'm going to sell that for $97.
Well, no, because there's no risk in that, because if you don't get the information out there and you don't get actually your best information out there, then you're never going to build up a following that's going to tell you what you want, and you're never going to be able to take your business to the next level. So it's kind of like if you hold back, you're coming at it from kind of a scarcity mindset. You've got to be one of the most important principles of business is you got to be generous and you got to be caring. I mean, that sounds very contrary to some of the mainstream ideas about business that are out there, and that's one of my missions in life is to change that. But you got to come at it from a generous and caring standpoint, and then people trust you more, they like you more, and they're more willing to buy more stuff from you. And there's that whole fear and misconception that maybe you shouldn't put your best stuff out there, you should save it or hold it back, and that just doesn't make sense, and it doesn't have any application in the practical world. It's better to be giving. Now, I'm not saying give stuff away, but don't come at it from the mindset of, oh, well, I'm worried about, selling myself short. Come at it from the mindset of being generous and just coming at it from a place of, I just want to help people with this thing. And note how your generosity will ultimately flow down to your bottom line.
Any tips to capture leads from Amazon? Because that's another drawback of the platform. You know, the benefit is obviously the huge audience, the huge reach. But mm-hmm. One of the drawbacks is when you sell a book, you have no idea who bought it. You don't have any email. You don't have a name. You don't have any contact information for these people.
Yeah, and that's there's a couple of different things that you can do inside your book. You should always be driving them back to your website and offering them something for free, right? So when you read my book, you're offered a free training series, and you're offered that a couple of times throughout the book. At the end, there's a very specific thing that says, hey, if you enjoyed this book, you just read, 215 pages or whatever it is, and if you'd like to take it to the next level, go to this website and get this free training series. Also throughout the book, I offer resources. So there's worksheets in almost every chapter. There's a worksheet. If you just fill these worksheets out, you actually have a business. I mean, just fill in the blank on these worksheets. It's amazing. People love the worksheets, but every time they go to get a worksheet, they're also invited to opt into my email list. And I should have said, in order to get that free training, you have to opt into the email list. And every time that they're sent back to the website, they're invited to opt into my email list.
Definitely. No, that makes sense. That's a good way to
And then I've got them.
And then they're hooked.
Yes. Because I mean, if you read my entire book and you get my free training, I mean, there's just you're totally hooked.
you're set. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, kind of in knowing what you know now, and in talking with you with dozens or hundreds of quitters of how to quit your job people, is there anything you would do differently either in your business or in coaching these other people?
Well, I'll start by. It's so funny because I always ask this question of my guests, and it's actually kind of – it's interesting to be on the receiving end of the question. my guests always say well, I don't have any regrets. I don't look at anything as a mistake, just a learning experience. And I qualify it the same way by saying I don't have any regrets about the journey that I took. But what I will say is that I wish that in building my business – particularly when I was doing it as a side hustle a couple of years ago, I wish that I would have focused more on what are the tactical things that I need to do today to get traction, and not focus on – I mean, the first thing I did was I went out and got a logo that I don't even use anymore because it was so off base, right? Instead of focusing on these big things like, oh, all this technology that I need in the website and all these big things and legal entities and all that, when where I should have been focusing was on getting that idea out in front of people and getting feedback on it and putting something like a 99-cent book on Amazon.
Yeah.
Or anything like that that would get my idea in front of people and would get me feedback.
Gotcha. Today, if you had an hour a day to work on your biz, many side hustlers say that's a reasonable amount of time to carve out to work on it. How are you going to spend that time?
Conversations, talking to people about your idea, real people, not your mom, not your sister, not your spouse, but talking to real people about your idea and getting their feedback and learning about what is it that they struggle with, why do they struggle with it, and then getting some sort of a solution in front of them in terms of a low cost or for a free product.
Now, if your mom's listening to any of your shows, she's going to be like, I'm not a real person. Come on.
She hasn't read my book. She has a copy and, I mean, she's just not interested in the topic.
Yeah, that's, you gotta want it, and that's kind of a common thread here too. It's like if you love your job and you're happy there and you want to come home and watch TV, perfect. You're probably not listening to the show. This is not for you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. It's howtoquitworking.com in the book and podcast by the same name. Go check out the what's it called? The free 5-day. Training to kickstart your side hustle. And Jeff, we'll wrap up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Forget about failure. Forget about ever looking at anything as failure. There is no such thing as failure. It's just feedback. And if you put something out there and it's a complete flop, great. You're one step closer to finding something that works. I know that sounds cliche. I know that everybody says that. But it's just so important to view it that way.
It's not failure. It's just feedback. I like it. I haven't heard it phrased that way. So I really like that one.
And I stole that from a friend of mine. So
that's okay. We won't tell him. You claim it as your own. Awesome, Jeff. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Hey, everybody, that's our show. It's not about failure. It's about feedback. I like it. Thanks so much for listening, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And hey, I've still got that one lonely World Domination Summit ticket left to sell. The transfer deadline is coming up on May 11th. So let me know if you're interested in that, and we'll make a deal. Until next time, go out there and make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 49.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.
Not how to quit working is not about not doing anything. It's about doing something that you enjoy doing and doing it on your terms.